Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow friends of Jesus, about 3,000 years ago, there lived a man who has become one of the most well-known people of Scripture. His name was David. David, the great soldier who defeated the giant Goliath. David, the great king who brought peace to the nation of Israel and extended its borders. David, the great poet who wrote psalms that we still sing to this very day. Seems like everything that David touched and did became great. But there's one aspect of David's life that tends to be overlooked. It's the fact that David needed a great friend. Before David was ever king of Israel, he served under King Saul. And in time, Saul hated David and more than once tried to take his life because he knew that the Lord had chosen David to be the next king. King Saul was an enemy to David. But King Saul's son, Jonathan, was a great friend of David's. Jonathan protected and saved the life of David from his father. We are told in Scripture that they were one in spirit, that they mutually cared for each other. But in time, Jonathan and his father Saul died in battle. But that didn't mean that David's friendship ended at that moment with Jonathan. When David became king, he found a son of Jonathan who was crippled, brought him into his palace, and took care of him. That's how great the friendship existed between David and Jonathan. And what a blessing it is to have friends. Because we need friends. We just do. We need friends who are there for us, who listen to us, who support us and take care of us. But there is a friendship that is far greater than the one that existed between David and Jonathan. It is far greater than any friendship that exists in this world that we have. The greatest friendship that we have is the one that's between us and Jesus. And here in these words from John, Jesus calls us his friends. And what a friend we have in Jesus. So when Jesus spoke these words, it comes right off the heels of what we focused on last week. Last week we focused on Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. But what we really did not focus on at all last week was when Jesus spoke these words. It was Maundy Thursday. Jesus and his disciples are heading out to the Mount of Olives, where eventually Judas would betray Jesus, and Jesus would be arrested, and eventually he would die. So this is his last moments with his disciples, the last chance to share some words of comfort with them. And one thing that Jesus wanted to re-emphasize with his disciples was his relationship with them. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You can easily understand what Jesus is talking about here. A master and his servant are not really friends. Friends share things with each other. But a master does not share everything about his business with his servant. Just think about your job. Do you know everything that your boss does? I highly doubt it. because it is none of your business to know every single thing that your boss does. But that is exactly what Jesus did for his disciples. Everything that he learned from his Father, he revealed it to them. He revealed God's plan of salvation to his disciples. He revealed this command to love one another to his disciples. And hasn't Jesus done the same thing for us? God has not kept his plan of salvation hidden from us. He has not kept his commands hidden from us. Instead, he has revealed them to us. He has had them written down for us to read, to learn, and to study. But did the disciples deserve this from Jesus? Do we? No. We have never deserved Jesus to call us his friends, nor do we still deserve it. But what a friend we have in Jesus, for he calls us his friends. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Think about how friendships start. They start because people have common interests, they have similar likes, and they get along with each other. But that would not and could not have happened between us and Jesus, because by nature, we hate God. By nature, we do not have common interests, similar likes, or even get along with God. Because our sinful nature opposes every single thing about God. We would not have chosen Jesus to be our friends, and we could not. But what did Jesus do? He chose us to be his friends. And why did he do that? Well, he calls us his friends purely out of his grace. Even before God created the world, he chose you to be his friends. And he made you his friends by using his revealed word. That's the great friendship that we have with Jesus. Even though we wanted nothing to do with him, he reached out and called us to be his friends. That's how our friendship with Jesus started. But now, as friends of Jesus, what are we expected to do? Just think of your friendships. You expect your friends to do things for you, and your friends expect you to do things for them. That's what friends do. And as friends of Jesus, that's what we do as well. We follow the command of Jesus. He says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. My command is this: love each other." Jesus, our friend, tells us to obey his commands, and his command is to love one another. But what exactly does that love look like? Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 had this to say about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is not just a type of love that is supposed to exist between a husband and a wife. It is a love that is supposed to exist between us and all people. Is that the love that we share with everyone? Love is patient. Love is kind. But we often can be short-tempered and easily get angry at people. Love is not proud. It does not boast. But we love to puff ourselves up and think that we are better than others. Love is not self-seeking. But we will often stop at nothing to satisfy our own wants and desires. Love keeps no record of wrongs. But who here can say that they have never held on to a grudge and refused to let it go? Love does not delight in evil. But there are so many evil things about this world that brings us joy. Love always perseveres. But our love for others can easily dwindle and disappear. That's the love that we can share with people. And we see clearly that we are failures at following this command from Jesus. And God should end his friendship with us. Why should God remain friends with us when we hardly act like friends for him? But what a friend we have in Jesus, for he lays down his life for his friends. In fact, Scripture puts it this way, that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Jesus Christ died for us. But that wouldn't mean anything for us, except for the type of life that Jesus laid down. His life was perfect. His life was full of love. He obeyed every command of God. Notice that in these words, not only does Jesus give us the command to love each other, but he also mentioned, love each other as I have loved you. And Jesus truly loved us. For greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And since Jesus laid down his life for us, he calls us his friends. His love is patient with us, for God is slow to anger. His love does not boast. Instead, he humbled himself for our salvation. His love is not self-seeking. Instead, he sought us out and called us to be his friends. His love does not keep a record of wrongs. For every wrongdoing that we have done has been erased and washed clean. His love does not delight in evil. Instead, he delighted in saving us from our sins. And his love always perseveres. For God's love for us never stops. That's the great friendship that we have with Jesus. But not only did God's love do all of these things for us, but it is also his love that compels us to love each other. And Jesus assured us that if we obey his commands, we will remain in his love. But this doesn't mean that there will not be problems and struggles in our life. They will happen. But just like with your friends, you can talk to them and they will listen to you and help you. And that's the exact same thing that we get to do with our friend Jesus. For he listens to his friends. Jesus said, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. See, the one blessing that we receive from our friend Jesus is the gift of prayer. And prayer is nothing more than a one-on-one conversation between you and God. Do not neglect this gift of prayer that you have received from your friend. Do not neglect it because Jesus promises that he will listen to your prayers and he will answer them according to his good and gracious will. And there was one man who lived 150 years ago that did not neglect this gift of prayer. His name was Joseph Skrinner. And although he is not as popular as King David, he was also a man who needed a great friend, for he had huge sufferings in his life. Early in his life, he was engaged, But his bride-to-be fell into a lake and drowned on the night before their wedding. Years later, he was engaged again. But a couple months into her engagement, his bride-to-be became ill with pneumonia and died before they could get married. And Joseph Skrinner prayed to God about those struggles in his life. And then years later, when his own mother became very sick, he wrote her a poem. And the poem was called Pray Without Ceasing. And although we are not familiar with the title of that poem, we are very familiar with the words that he wrote. For that poem that he wrote to his mother is the hymn that we will sing later on, called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. In that second verse of the hymn, Joseph Skrinner wrote, Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the friend that we have in Jesus. He tells us that when we pray to him, he will not ignore us. Instead, he will listen to us because we are his friends. And we became his friends when Jesus, purely out of his grace, called us. And purely out of his grace, he laid down his life for his friends. And now his love remains with us always. It was this love that moved Joseph Skrinner to pray to God about the struggles in his life. It was this love that moved David and Jonathan to be such great friends. It is this love that moves us to love each other. There is no greater love than this, and there is no greater friendship than this. What a friend we truly have in Jesus. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register, which you will find at the end of your pew.